Slave Girl by Patricia C. McKissack. Clotie is a slave girl living on a plantation in Virginia, in the USA, in 1859. She is poor and uneducated like all slaves. Despite speaking only broken English, she has a clever plan to help her to learn to read and write. Despite the dangers of educating herself, she is determined to do it. Will she be caught? Note: the language in this story is not correct English. It is written as a slave girl would have spoken in the 1850s. March 1859. The spring blooms are coming and the sky is a sure blue. March never knows if it wants to be a spring month or a winter month. The heat's come early to Virginia this year. That's fine with me though. As long as it's hot, I have to fan young Mass William and Miss Lily, my mistress, during their study time. This morning was the first day of my third learning season. For now on 3 years, I've been fanning them, lifting and lowering the big fan made of woven Carolina sweet grass, up and down, up and down. The fan stirs the thick air, up and down, and chases away worrisome horseflies and eye gnats. It may seem like a silly job, but I don't mind one bit, because while William is learning, so am I. Standing there fanning, up and down, I come to know my ABCs and the sounds the letters make. I teach myself how to read words. Now I can pick through things I find to read, like throwed away newspapers, letters in the trash, and books I slip off Mass Henley's shelf. It scares me to know what I know sometimes. Slaves ain't supposed to know how to read and write, but I do. Miss Lily would fall down in a fit if she knew I had made myself a diary, like the one she's got on her bed table. It don't matter to me that hers is all wrapped in fine satin and got ribbons and beads in it, and mine is just made up of papers I found in the trash and keeps tied together with a measure of yarn. It's a diary just the same. Mine. And I aim to write in it whenever I get a chance. I got to be real particular and make sure nobody finds out though. Cause if Master finds out, I would fall under the whip. Time and time again, I'd heard Mass Henley swear that if he catches his slaves with learning, he'll beat the skin off us, then sell our hides to slavers from the deep south. He got the law on his side, too. Anybody found teaching a slave in the state of Virginia can be sent to jail. Sure. Wonder why the white folks is so determined to keep us from knowing things. What are they scared of? Can't help but laugh a little bit when I think of what Mass Henley would think if he knew I could read better than his boy, and that it was his own wife that had taught me. It's near dark. Pray, Lord, don't let nobody find my diary hid behind the loose brick in the outside chimney wall, back of the kitchen. Hope it can stay dry and safe until I can sneak away to write again. Next morning, first light. I got up extra early and churned the butter for breakfast and helped out in the kitchen the way Auntie expects me to every morning. That gave me a little time to practice my writing at my spot by the big tree out behind the kitchen. Sunrise is a good writing hour when all is still and quiet. I want to tell somebody about all the things I'd unlearned for the past 3 years. Words got magic. Every time I read or write a word, it puts a picture in my head. Like when I wrote H-O-M-E, I sees Belmont Plantation and all the people that live here. I sees the big house where Mass Henley, Miss Lily and William stay, living easy. I sees the separate kitchen with the attic above it, where I sleep along with Auntie, Uncle Heb and Hints. I sees the quarters where my friends live, and beyond their cabins, the fields and orchards where they work. I sees Auntie cooking at the fireplace, and the stables where Hints takes care of Mass Henley's prize racing horses, and the gardens and grounds that Uncle Heb makes pretty. Home. That one little word shows me all of that. Mass Henley thinks he owns everything here at Belmont, but he don't own all of me, not really. I know, he can tell me to come and I got to come, When he say do this, I better do it or he'll put the whip to my back. But I done learned that he can't tell me what to think and feel and know. He look at me every day, but he can't see what's in my head. He can't own what's inside me. Nobody can. Few days later, it rained all the long, long day. Everything is dampish and sticky. I wondered if my diary stayed dry in its hiding place. No need to worry, the stone covered it well. Next day, it rained again today. When it rains hard, the field slaves don't have to work. But our work in the kitchen goes on all the time. No days off. Auntie say I'm lucky getting picked to work in the big house. I ain't so sure. Living right under Mass Hindley and Miss Lily ain't so easy to me. We got to do their bidding all hours of the night and day. But field work is hard. Hard on your back. And in the summer, the heat is smothery. I guess what it comes to is being a slave ain't no good no matter where they got you working. Next day, I just wrote T-R-E-E. I see my tree, the live oak behind the kitchen where I come to write whenever I can slip away. I put a S on tree and now the word is trees. The picture in my head turns to the apple orchards. In spring, the apple trees are filled with bright white blossoms. I close my eyes and see the same trees in the green of summer and full of good tasting apples in the fall. I love playing with words, putting letters in and taking letters out, and letting the pictures change. Monday. I know it's Monday because Ms. Lily comes to the kitchen every Monday morning to pass out the flour, sugar and meal. It's so hard keeping secrets from the people I live with. Sometimes when I'm helping Auntie in the kitchen, I want to tell her about my learning so bad, but I can't. Even though she's about the closest thing to a mama I got since my own mama died 5 years ago. I don't think she'd do a thing to hurt me, but she'd been real close with Mass Hindley all his life. Been his cook since before he got married to Ms. Lily. Can't take the chance. I want to tell Uncle Heb how I use his whittling knife to make a writing pin out of a turkey quill. He'd be right proud of his sunflower girl. That's what he calls me. But he's old now, forgetful. He might just slip up and tell the wrong person, who tell Mass Hindley on me just to win a favour. What I wouldn't give to tell hints how whilst I'm dusting, I slip ink out of Mass Hindley's study in a glass bottle. I can see him laughing so his eyes would water up. I'd come more close to telling hints my secret than anybody. Him being like a big brother to me, always teasing and funning. Hints say I study on things all the time, off by myself too much. He don't understand I ain't off to myself because I want to be. I'm just being careful like, not wanting to be caught practicing my writing and reading. If Mama was alive, I could tell her. But Mama is gone. Gone forever. Dead. So there's nobody I trust enough to tell. 2 days later. It ain't even summer yet and William is fussing about the heat. I am 12 and he is too. But he seems so much younger. Maybe it's because William is forever whining about something, especially at study time. I just stay quiet and listen, fanning, up and down, up and down. Auntie say William is spoiled to a stink. Mass Hindley thinks his son is a little piece of heaven here on earth. Course, nobody else shares that notion, not even the boy's mama.